As we continue our shiurim on Lechem Mishnah, so as we saw, the Rama told us that the Lechem Mishnah should be Shleimus. And as we pointed out, the Gemara never mentioned the Halacha of Shleimus. It's something that's mentioned by the Rama. And the first question we need to understand is, why did the Rama say it? But if we recall, as we learned in our previous year, the purpose of Lechem Mishnah is to show the Kavod HaShabbos, that on Shabbos it's a day of bracha, and how is the bracha fulfilled by doing Lechem Mishnah. So of course it has to be done in the most preferred manner, and the most preferred and coveted manner is when the Lechem Mishnah, when the chalas are shleimos, when the chalas are whole. But, on the other hand, since the only reason we're doing it this way, it's very clear, is only to show the covenant of Shabbos, so that a very serious discussion by the Paiskim, many Paiskim discuss, what is the definition of shleimos? What is the definition of shleimos? And what does it mean that it has to be perfectly whole? And the Paiskim say that certainly it doesn't have to be perfectly whole. Even if it looks whole, that is enough for it to be considered Lechem Mishnah. So on one hand, I saw that the Shmiru Shabbos Klachosai Paskins, that it used to be very common that when they baked challah, they used to put a little label on the challah. And you shouldn't, he says, pull off that bakery label from the challah before you use it for Lechem Mishnah, because then it's going to be noticeably missing, and since it's going to be noticeably missing, that can't be considered a challah. But what about a situation, which is a very common situation, where when they bake, particularly when they bake the small challahs in the oven, in the bakery, They stick together, and then when you use it for Lechem Mishnah, you separate them. Can you fulfill the mitzvah of Lechem Mishnah with those challahs that were connected and broken apart? Most Paiskim are very lenient. Certainly, if it's not noticeable that they were separated, as we just said, it certainly could be considered Lechem Mishnah. But even in a case where it was noticeably separated, the Paiskim suggests that it may be considered Lechem Mishnah. There's actually a very beautiful tshuva on this subject in the Shailos HaTshuvos Machs Avram, Simen Lamed Ches. The Machs Avram speaks about two situations. The Paiskim actually differentiate between these two situations. One is a situation where the two challahs were not put into the oven together, but they were put in separately. But because, I guess, there was a lot of dough, there were a lot of challahs in the oven, the question that was discussed is, and you separate that, is that considered Lechem Mishnah? So Rameya Arik, in his Sefer Minchas Pitim, suggests that the Gemara says that Esrig Ha Tiyomis, an esrig that grew two esrigim together, the halacha is considered a kosher esrig. So we see that the fact that they grow together doesn't disqualify them. Says the Machs Avram that the Michas Pitim's raya is not a great raya, because although the Gemara does say, and the halacha indeed is, that esrig Hatiyoimus is kosher, but he says, you know when an esrig hatiyoimus is kosher? Is when you keep that esrig that grew two fruit together, as you keep it together as one fruit, that's when it's kosher. But we're not speaking about a case where you want to keep the two esrigim, the two chalas together. We're speaking about a case where you want to separate the two chalas. So that isn't a great raya. But, says the Machs Avram, since the entire purpose of Lechem Mishnah is just to show that you have two challahs on your table. You could, and Derma indeed, as we said, is saying that it should be shleimos, that those challahs should be whole. But we fulfill the obligation that they should be shleimos, not because they have to be exactly whole. It's just to show bracha. And bracha is shown when you have these two challahs. The fact that they were baked together and separated is immaterial. And therefore, the Machlokes Avraham even goes a step further. There are poskim that want to distinguish between a case where two challahs were put into the oven separately, and then while they were in the oven, they got connected, and now you want to separate them, versus a situation of two challahs that were put into two pieces of dough, two challahs that were put into the oven connected. There's not enough space. And the question is, can you still use that for Lechem Mishnah? And the Machlokes Avraham says, even then it's fine. Because the whole point, he explains, of Lechem Mishnah is to show this chshivas. And this chshivas is shown when you have two challahs on the table. The fact that they were put together in the oven, they were put in the oven connected to each other, or not connected to each other, all is immaterial. Because the point is to show the chshivas. Which leads up to another very important question. And that is the question of sometimes a person comes home, and needs Lechem Mishnah, or has guests, and he needs Lechem Mishnah, and he doesn't have enough Lechem Mishnah, and he doesn't have enough challah available to him, but he has challah in the freezer. Can he take a challah out of the freezer to use for Lechem Mishnah? Many, many poskim, the tremendous amount of poskim that discuss the shailah. Most poskim are lenient. And the reason they're lenient is exactly for the reason that we're explaining. Because the point of having the Lechem Mishnah on the table is to show the chshivas and the significance of the Shabbos meal, that during the week I only have one loaf typically on the bread, but on the table. But on Shabbos I have more than one loaf on the table. And how do I show that I have more than one loaf on the table? How do I show that by having that? So the fact that the second loaf is frozen is immaterial. I'm showing that I have a loaf on the table. There are, I do however have to say, poskim that are machmer and hold that you can't, that if the Lechem Mishnah is not edible, then you can't fulfill the chiyuv of Lechem Mishnah with that bread. The poskim, however, do seem to say that there's another reason we could be lenient with a frozen challah. Because even if we'll say that the challahs that you need for Lechem Mishnah need to be edible, doesn't mean that they have to be edible necessarily right at the beginning of the meal. As long as they're edible at some point during the meal, it's also fine. And therefore, if you take a challah out of the freezer, and during the course of the meal that you're going to be using that challah for Lechem Mishnah, it's going to defrost to the state where it's edible, there certainly the poskim take a much more lenient approach and feel that you could use such a challah for Lechem Mishnah. Another few places where this shaila that we now discuss become extremely relevant is regarding using, let's say, a bread that is milchik. And I want to be very careful with what I say. Baking dairy bread is awesome. So it can't be that you have a dairy ingredient under normal circumstances in your challah. But let's say you have a challah that was baked in a milchik oven. That the halacha is that such challah should not be eaten together with meat. So now you have such a challah. Can you use such a challah for Lechem Mishnah? Here it may be, again, if the point is that showing the chshivas of the meal by having two challahs on the table, so you have the two challahs and you could use such a loaf. If on the other hand, where the two challahs cannot, where the challah can't be eaten, and here there's no point, it won't help that you wait for the frosting, it may not be simple. But the poskim are lenient here as well. Firstly, as I said, most poskim as we saw from the Machzor Avraham, take the approach that the main issue of Lechem Mishnah is to show the chshivas of the meal, and that is shown with the second challah, even if you're not eating it. Furthermore, even if I can't eat it because I'm eating fleishiks, but somebody else could eat that challah, maybe that's good enough. Especially since I saw the Paiskim suggest the midaraisa, the isser of eating such a challah, there's no isser midaraisa of eating such a challah, so therefore with meat, and therefore we maybe could be lenient. However, another shaila that comes up, and this we see in many shuls very commonly at the time of Shal Shudas, where there aren't necessarily enough challahs in the shul for everybody to make Lechem Mishnah. So people shear. That means I and the person next to me, I have a challah, and the person sitting next to me as well has a challah, and we shear the Lechem Mishnah, that I use his challah for Lechem Mishnah, he uses my challah for Lechem Mishnah. Is that acceptable? So again, if we say, so although as I said in the previous year, and we'll discuss in coming shiurim as well, if we say that the point of Lechem Mishnah is to show the chshivas, that on Shabbos I'm not just making a bracha on one loaf, I'm making a bracha on two loaves, so certainly one fulfills the mitzvah of Lechem Mishnah that way. But if we say that to show that you have to be able to eat both, then maybe not. Again, especially during Shalos Sudas, most people are lenient. One other question, however, that comes up is, let's say someone has a challah that he has no intention to eat because the challah, the mitzvah's challah, was not removed from that challah. May you use such a challah from which the challah wasn't removed for Lechem Mishnah? And I saw that the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasoi discusses this, and he makes a distinction between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz. He says, challah in Eretz Yisrael, which we discussed in a previous year, the chiv of taking challah in Eretz Yisrael is a chiv d'araisa, and therefore a challah from which challah wasn't removed is certainly usur, should not be used for Lechem Mishnah. It may very much be muksa. However, in Chutz Laretz, where the chiv of taking challah is only a chiv d'rabbanan, so as we've discussed in a previous year, if somebody realizes that the challah that he has to eat from on Shabbos, the challah was not removed from that challah, there the halacha is that you should take off. So we said the halacha is you could eat from the whole challah and just leave over at the end a piece bigger than the amount of challah you have to remove, and you'll take the challah Matzoi Shabbos. Such a challah could be used for Lechem Mishnah, Paskins the Shmir Shabbos Kuchasai. But he makes us aware, a very important point that he makes us aware in that piece, and that is that many, and we're still going to discuss, using matzah for Lechem Mishnah. But he says, besides whatever other issue we're going to speak about in taking using a matzah for Lechem Mishnah, he says many matzahs are baked in Eretz Yisrael and then are sent to Chutz Laretz to be eaten. Once the matzah was made in Eretz Yisrael, so the chiv of removing challah is a chiv deraisa, even though we are eating that challah in Chutz Laretz. And there he says, therefore, the chiv would be the din of that bread, that challah, would have the same din of challah that's in Eretz Yisrael. When we speak about the challah of Lechem Mishnah, there are those that in fact have a minig, not just to have two challahs on the table, they have 12 challahs. And the source for having 12 challahs on the table is because we know on Shabbos it was the day where they switched lechem upon him, and there were 12 challahs in the shulchan. There were 12 lechem upon him in the shulchan. In fact, that is why even most people who obviously do not have the minig of having 12 challahs on the table, the challahs are braided, and the braids, many people have the minig to use six pieces of dough to braid together to make each challah. Why? Because if you have two challahs on your table, and each one of the challahs were made out of six pieces of dough braided together, you will have 12 challahs on the table. As we learned, the Shulchan Aruch says that the minig is that on Friday night we cut the bottom challah. So the Paiskim make a number of points. First of all, this entire issue of which challah to cut, the upper challah or the bottom challah, is obviously Api Kabbalah. And Api Kabbalah, the minig, as the Shulchan Aruch says, is that on Friday night we cut the bottom challah, and Shabbos by day we cut the upper challah. Interestingly, the minig is that, let's say Friday night is a yontif, then we cut the upper challah. The Bach has a problem with how we cut the bottom challah. Isn't there a concept of Eim Avir Mala Mitzvahs? And we first get to the upper challah before we get to the bottom challah. So how can we skip over the upper challah before we get to the bottom challah? So many Paiskim Darach HaShulchan, and others say that the only time we say Eim Avir Mala Mitzvahs is only when we have two items that we're both going to use for a mitzvah. The best example I could think of is the tefillin that we put on every morning. So we're going to put on tefillin shel yad, and we're going to put on tefillin shel rosh. So there, the halacha is, whichever tefillin we come to first should be put on first. And that's why we put the tefillin in our bag in a way that we should first reach the tefillin shel yad, because those are the tefillin that we put on first. But in a case where we're not going to use both items, like the chalas, that we said our minig is only to cut one challah, there is no concept of Eim Avir Mala Mitzvahs. There are those that disagree and say that even if we're only going to use one, since they're both equally usable, so we still have a problem with Eim Avir Mala Mitzvahs. And therefore the minig is, if on Friday night, as we're following what the Ramah tells us, to cut the bottom challah, we should pull the bottom challah closer to us. So even though it's the bottom challah, it's the challah that's close to us, and we avoid the problem of Eim Avirim Ala Mitzvahs. So we have the two challahs next to each other. The halacha is that one should hold both challahs when he makes the bracha. It's explicit in the Shulchan Aruch, as we read, at Simen Reish Ayin Dalet. The Shulchan Aruch says, it means you should make the bracha on both loaves of challah, by holding both loaves of challah. The question is, do you have to actually hold the challah, or could you be holding the challah cover as well? Most paiskim are of the opinion that you should be holding the challahs themselves. And again, the way we've been learning, that the entire point of Lechem Mishnah is to show the chshivas of the mitzvah. So how do we show the chshivas of the mitzvah? By holding both chalas and holding them together and using them for lechem mishnah. And holding them and showing that you're using them for lechem mishnah. However, the paiskim do say, I saw a tshuva from the Debrei Tzina Rav on this question, and he says that b'di'evid, you could even hold the tap of the challah cover, and would that also fulfill the obligation of holding the challahs when you're doing the mitzvah of lechem mishnah? Furthermore, the Shalos Teshuvos Rivetz Ephraim says that even if the challahs are still in a bag, you have the challahs in some sort of a plastic bag, and you put your hand on top of the plastic bag, that is also considered that you held the challahs to do lechem mishnah. The minig ha'olam is that before they actually do lechem mishnah, they make a cut into the challah. The reason for doing so is because in Hilchas Betzias Apas, the halacha is that before one makes the bracha, the Shulchan Aruch paskins, you're supposed to cut the challah, so there should, or the loaf of bread that you're going to eat, so there shouldn't be a hefsik between the eating of the bread and the bracha. So you start cutting. But as all the paiskim can point out, on Shabbos, this really represents a very serious problem. Because on one hand, as we're saying, there is a din of b'tzias apas that you're supposed to cut into the challah. On the other hand, if you're going to cut into the challah before you make the bracha, then you don't have a shalom. And as we learned, and as we've explained, there is a mitzvah l'chatchila of having a shalom for Lecha Mishnah. So the question is, what do you do? So the minhag ha'olam is that they don't cut strictly into the challah. They just make a rishima. And the reason for making that rishima is to make to fulfill the halacha of Betzias Apas, but don't cut too much into it. The Paiskim discuss that isn't making a rishima asur on Shabbos, because in making this rishima, there could be two lavim that one could possibly be violating. One is the melacha of roshim, making a mark. So there the Paiskim can say there is no issur roshim when you're making a rishima on your challah. Why is there no issur roshim when you're making a rishima in your challah? Because the whole point of roshim is to make a mark that it should be a siman for you. It should be something that you need to notice. Here, I'm not making that mark to notice anything. And therefore, the issur roshim doesn't apply. But then there's another problem. There's a problem of mesartit, making a line that you should know that along this line I want to cut is the issur mesartit. So the Pais can discuss, why is there no issur mesartit when you cut the lechem, when you make this rishima? So the most Paiskim hold that the Issar of Mesartit travels together with the Issar of Mechateich. In other words, what's the point of Mesartit? You're making a line, because along that line you're going to cut. But we Paiskim that ein chituch ba'oichlin. There is no lav, there is no melacha of chituch ba'oichlin. If there is no chituch ba'oichlin, then there is no Mesartit ba'oichlin. Moreover, the Tzemach Tzedek Paskin, and this is a very important psak, that even though our minik, as we've been learning, is to make a rishima on the challah, but as we just explained, you have to be careful not to make a very deep cut. And since if you're going to be careful not to make a very deep cut, you may not notice where you cut it. So do you have to cut the challah specifically where you made that rishima, or could you cut it anywhere? And the Tzemach Tzedek very much paskin that you can cut it anywhere. Not only is that an important psak, because many people don't find the place where they made the rishima, especially if we're making such a light rishima, there's a different problem. Because if you don't know, because by Hilch Tzis HaPas, the halacha is, if you can't find the rishima, you maybe have to make a new bracha. Why? Because you specifically wanted to eat this piece of the bread, not another piece of the bread. But here, by not making a very specific rishima, you're not showing that you want to eat any piece of the challah. Anyway, the price of a momekel, because it is the intention typically of a person when he's cutting challah by a suda Shabbos to eat or possibly eat all of that challah. And since he's going to eat all of that challah, when he makes the bracha, he has in mind the entire challah, and there is no problem even if you don't find where you made the rishima. How should you hold the challahs when you actually are holding them to make the bracha? They're too very, while you're making the bracha. So we said you're supposed to put your hands on the challah, and there are two minhagim how the challahs should be held when you make the bracha. One minhag is that the challahs are kept one on top of the other. Why? Because that is the way it was in the Mon, We learned in our previous year quite extensively that this entire point of Lech HaMishnah is to fulfill Zeich Leman. And on Erev Shabbos, they had a number of layers of Mon, one on top of the other. So too should the Lech HaMishnah be one on top of the other. However, as we also discussed earlier in our shiur, that the Lech HaMishnah, the chalas on the Shabbos table, are also zeicha to the lechem haponim. And the way the lechem haponim were baked, they were baked that they were touching each other. And therefore, the two chalas, according to those menhagim, should be touched. They should be touching each other. The backs, the bottoms of the chalas should be touching each other. As we said, you always, when you say the shame, you should put all 10 pieces, all 10 fingers on the challah, as the 10 words in the bracha, Hamotzi Lechem Haaretz. When you say the shame, you should pick up the pieces a little. And then, as we learned, you cut the challah that's on the right. And as we said, Friday night, you cut the bottom challah, according to the minig that's quoted in the Ramah. Shabbos by day, you cut, and the other times, you cut the upper challah. It's very interesting to point out that the paiskim, many paiskim suggest that when one cuts the challah, he should not just cut for himself a piece of the challah, but he should immediately, even before he begins to eat, cut a piece of challah for his wife as well. And the reason he should do so is because, and I saw that the Divrei Chaim told his grandson, the Bava Rebbe, the first Bava Rebbe, that this is something that he should be careful to do every Friday night. I saw that this was also the minig of the Satmar Rebbe, that he always, before he even took a piece of challah for himself, would be careful to cut a piece of challah for his wife. And the reason is because u'mechabdo yois magufa, by showing respect to our wives, we bring bracha to our home, we bring panosa to our home. And Friday night, which we're discussing in our shiurim, is the time where the chalas are cut and all representing the bracha that the Lech HaMishnah and Shabbos represents. So therefore, there is no more appropriate time to show that kavod and to bring that bracha into our home by being careful to respect our wives and giving them a piece of challah even before we begin to eat from our own challah.